time right now. It's 8:30. Welcome to the WLBB Community Voice on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3, streaming live online at newstalk1330.com. This morning we are on the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page. My name is Colin Worthington. 28 minutes to get a lot of information out this morning. Five beautiful young guests, perhaps. We'll find out if we get the fifth guest in here this morning, as we are crammed to talk about something that has received a lot of attention over the last couple of weeks, maybe the last several months. And allegedly it stemmed with a conversation that's been going on for 10 years. But we'll talk about that this morning. I'll introduce my guests here shortly. Let me start with this something that I wrote this morning to try and introduce our topic. Last week, a group of concerned residents rallied outside of Villarica City Hall, protesting a new development project that would build a new road through their established community. Residents of the historically black neighborhood said about two dozen properties would be impacted if the city of Villarica moves forward with their current plan. The planned project, originally called the Mirror Lake Connector, and it was promoted initially as a way for residents of the Mirror Lake community to easily access, get access to the AMP and local restaurants in downtown. That's how it was sold primarily. And it was promoted that they could use their golf carts to ride from Mirror Lake to downtown. It would connect the Douglas County side of the city to downtown area on the Carroll County side. Meanwhile, residents living in and around the neighborhoods of Cleghorn and Darden and their protective family members say they still have little idea exactly how the project will affect each property individually, and they claim they're getting minimal help or guidance or information from the city manager's office, leaving them feeling anxious, disrespected, and concerned for their families' futures as well as their own. If you look anywhere on social media, and I've had conversations, former employees and elected officials have responded to these concerns in conversations with me, and I believe they've had a couple of conversations with you, but I've heard they suggested that, hey, this project's been discussed for years, and suggest that everyone should be prepared for it. Now, however, as recent as July or August of 2023, then-Mayor Gil McDougal said, quote, since 2017, we've been talking about this road coming through, quote, there. However, he did admit that no actual plan or properties that would be impacted had been identified or confirmed. He even added at that time that he would personally let residents affected know how they would be affected. And he did hint that the residents could be compensated properly, although he did not use the term eminent domain. So residents, again, at that time would have been stuck with rumors only, no clarification of who it would affect. They apparently learned who it would affect, I guess, in recent months when vendors hired by the city started showing up on their doorsteps asking for them to sign over portions to access their property. Now, I did personally reach out to city manager Tom Barber, as well as our four guests this morning, but did reach out to Tom to encourage him to be on the program to, defend any comments that are made today. However, did not respond at all to my invite. But on the program this morning, we have Alita Farmer, have Pam White, Villarica City Councilwoman Stephanie Warmoth, not her district, but had been kind of vocal about this in recent months, and of course Villarica Mayor Leslie McPherson, and appreciate all of you coming here to talk about this morning. So I don't even know where to start. Maybe we start with our conversation a couple of weeks ago about what do you actually know, and let's start off, what is your concern at this point? I guess the concern that I'm aware of may have started in July, when a lot of residents in that area came to a Villarica City Council meeting. It was a 4.5-hour meeting, and there were a lot of people there, public comments. And that's when McDougal made those comments. They kind of just said, you know, slowly roll. We don't know anything yet, is how it came out. But since then, you believe you've learned things, and what are your concerns at this point?
Well, our concerns began last year in August when we received an email stating that the city was wanting an easement. We were sent the easement, and we were sent the measurements, but the wording of the easement proposal was very vague, and it was very unfair. It was a very unfair and disrespectful proposal. So we went and we started asking questions, you know, needed questions that the TRC company could not provide to us. So we asked for the city manager to contact us so that we can get clarity. And at that time, we couldn't get an appointment for months, several months. And when we did, absolutely no clarity at all. Our concerns is that our rights have been infringed upon. They have invaded our privacy. They have attempted to deceptively acquire our land through different measures that we do have proof of. And it's not only from city council, but it goes from city manager, now sitting mayor, Leslie McPherson. We have the proof that it was deliberate. It's been sought after for years. And those that came on board, even after it initially started, no one tried to stop it. They just went with the flow. So our concern is what's going to be next. We're asking Mayor Leslie McPherson to go to City Hall and to stop this.
And we're reminded over the last 6 months, Mayor, you know, maybe as media, we tend to go to the mayor as to be the face of the city. We go to where we go to comments and ideas and things. But, you know, as we're reminded over the last 6 months, the mayor, particularly in Villa Rica, doesn't have a lot of power. The city manager oversees the day-to-day operations.
Yes.
So he's going to make those calls. But and that's why I would hope that there'd be more communication coming out of there. Despite what the mayor thinks about one thing or a city council person feels about one thing, I would expect that you get that information from the city manager. And you don't believe that you are. I mean, I don't know if I guess I would. I mean, I expect him, he is working for the city in which you live. So I would expect him to help you and say, hey, here's your option. I mean, we planned this. This is why it's going to be better for everybody as a whole.
We get absolutely no help from the city manager, none.
And despite this being a conversation for the last 10 years, maybe there are some certain things that have been brought up at meetings, maybe off-the-cuff comments that if you look at them that you could take it, hey, we are planning this. But you're not aware of any families or property owners in there who were actually contacted about, you know, this will affect your property.
None whatsoever. None at all. I'm sorry. No one has been contacted that we know of at all. It was just, we all were taken by surprise.
Well, just give Alita a chance to talk here. Now, tell us about that community. I mean, you know, I've introduced it as a traditionally, historically black neighborhood. There are people who own their homes They're not renting their homes. They've owned their homes. They've owned their properties. They've invested in there for years and years.
Well, like I've shared with everyone at all the meetings, as well as when I communicate, one of the reasons that I got involved is because our family property, well, I call it family property because it's been in our family for over 110 years. And my 80-year-old father still resides in that home. And my great-great-grandfather was the one that originally acquired the home, built the home from scratch, and most of my great-great aunts were born in this home. And so we didn't get no notification but one. The notification that we did receive, our property is being, I'm going to just say attacked on the front side and the back side. So the front side of our property is Anderson Road. On the back side of our property, it links up to Gordon Street. Now, Gordon Street is a whole nother project that has nothing to do with what Pam and I are, what we've been mostly focusing on. And we had got notification back in November that there was something about a buffer regarding the stream. So my father and I went to city council. And so what it appears to be is that there are notifications going out because it was a paper notification from the city, but it's not for the historically black community. And so when you have to ask yourself, there are people being notified of what's going on with these projects. Is we talk to people all the time now from Muir Lake, and they've been knowing everything about this project. Now, to be fair, I know we have a city councilwoman that's been in her position for over 20 years. And we as a community, we trusted her. We trusted her to relate to us what was going on in our community. And by I will take responsibility that maybe that ball was dropped from us putting so much trust in one person. But I also will have to say that the city has some responsibility in that. Now, there were a couple of little meetings that they called, but they were not official meetings. And they would call them, I think Pastor Foster's church had a meeting, and there was a
those more like just information sessions?
Yes.
Okay, and that's, okay.
Yes, but nobody was notified. So the people that showed up, like I pointed out to Tom, were not all homeowners. They were people that was a part of Pastor Foster's church. There were people that was walking around in the neighborhood just wanted to be nosy. There was people who were there that lived in a home but had no say to sign anything. But the actual homeowners that needed to be there to be aware of what was going on was not notified. And when I say notification, I'm looking for emails, because now we can communicate by emails. We can communicate by putting it postal. We can communicate by any city worker, just like they go and check the water. They could be putting notifications on our mailbox. So there's many a ways they could have notified us, but they chose not to. And so from our research, it goes back to at least 2013 that everyone in the council, as well as everyone higher than the council that have even left the city government, have been made aware. And during that time, Mirror Lake was very much aware of all the amenities that they would acquire from our land being used. So only people that were being left out in the dark is the historically Black community.
But I want to clarify, been made aware. I mean, because that phrase has been used on both
yes.
sides. Okay, been made aware that something's going to happen in that
yes.
area to be aware of, but again,
yes.
not your specific property and exactly how it will be affected.
So to that point, I will say, Mirror Lake is, they have what I call a POA. A homeowners association. They homeowners association is it outside of their individual council person. They attend outside meetings. They connect with the city city government. So they are the ones. Just like I live in a community as well. They notify us of anything. If the water's going to be out, the power's going to be out, anything that's going to be affecting our community, we get notified by them, not by the county of Carroll County, but by our POA. So I'm assuming that their POA work just as well as ours do. Now, that is an assumption, but again, mm-hmm. I'm just saying that's typically another line of communication that our community don't have access to.
And I would hate to think that any city manager or government would expect that because something's been reported on the radio, because it's been reported in the newspaper, that that's enough information that you are expected to learn that from those sources at this point, or something's put on social media.
Yes.
That would be it'd be pretty disgusting to accept that. And again, I'm not sure how much they have reached out or trying to, but let me take my break here. And I do want Stephanie and Leslie to talk a little bit to give their positions again, because I mean, Stephanie's been very vocal on it. I want her a chance to talk. And then Leslie, I mean, we can find out, you know, what this means and what can be done, if anything, and we'll find out exactly what you guys want. We're going to try and do that in the next 12 minutes
yes.
of the program. Okay. Right now it's 844 Community Voice, brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
The AP Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined advanced placement curriculum track to earn a series of distinctions upon graduation. This journey enables academically prepared students to pursue college-level studies throughout 17 AP courses in 5 subject categories while enrolled at OMA. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
8:45, welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice News Talk, 1330 FM, 106.3. I cannot put into, I can't summarize what we talked about for that first 10 to 12 minutes, but I do encourage you to go back and watch if you missed any of the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page. This program will be there in its entirety, as well as the podcast at newstalk1330.com. Again, Stephanie, I mean, I've read your posts online. I mean, you dove into this, I mean, head first, and Leslie will, you know, will definitely ask, I mean, I guess your perspective as a mayor and what actually can be done, if anything. Now, Stephanie, I mean, you're a freshman council person, and already speaking out about something that you see is you know, that the city's not handling right. You've been in office 5 months, and already the most vocal, I would say, about this over the last 2 or 3 months. I mean, what's your perspective on this? You know, what they're saying, what can you verify?
So when I first joined council, excuse me, this connector was brought to me as exactly what you said, just connecting Mirror Lake into downtown Villarica. And it was suggested that it would impact homes very minimal. And when I first met this community, it was at one of the meetings that they held with Tom. And at this meeting, I couldn't understand where the problem was, where the disconnect was, because this community, it was open to these improvements. They were open to change. It wasn't that they were closed off from this. So I couldn't understand where the disconnect was. And so I asked if it would be okay if I came down and looked after everything had been staked. And they welcomed me with open arms. So I went down and I looked, and I'm like, wow, this is not at all as it was presented to me. And so I did the only thing that I know to do that has the biggest impact, and that was to bring my camera down there. And of course I asked for their permission, and once again, they welcomed me with open arms. And they allowed me to come onto their properties and to take these pictures. And these pictures have such a huge impact of what is being proposed by the city onto their properties. And it's not just some small sliver of property as it was first brought to us. And it's a connector road. That's not just some small road. Like, this is a road that is...
It's not going to be just for golf carts.
It's not going to be just for golf carts. It is a very large road. It is a very large road with sidewalks and golf cart paths. It's not something that's just not going to have some small impact.
And I guess the key that I'm getting from your statements is that this is not how it was presented, even to you.
That is correct.
Okay. All right, Leslie, does the city of Villarica have a stance? Does it have a comment? I mean, again, you're the mayor, and again, we've been reminded, I mean, we all knew it's a weak mayor system, but we've been reminded so very well over the last few months. But is there a stance, I mean, that the city has other than, is there the potential for this to stop? And would it be better for the city as a whole for it to stop? I mean, how do you see it?
Okay, so normally you'd expect me to be the face of the city, yeah, be able to speak directly.
And we do that. As media, I think we do turn to the mayors. We do ask for the mayors to say things, even though they may not have that power. But
yeah. And should have all the information.
Should I not? Yes.
But let me just mention real quick, going back to even prior before I lived here, them saying it was going to be a small path just to allow, like, carts. People could walk. It'd be a pedestrian path. But that predated me, so that's a long time ago. I've been here 16 years. That may have been what they were still looking at then, but once I got on council, there was still the continuation of there's going to be a connector. You know, this will be great. It'll be wonderful. And let me say this, in all transparency, I was for connecting the two parts of the city. You know, I think what happened is when we get into the details. So I was on council, right? So even last July, I was still on when Darden Street showed up. I was out of the country, but I called in, and it wasn't on the agenda. And so that's when we first got alerted to there's a problem. People are getting some sort of information that they're concerned about their property. So I don't know if it was put on the door. There was the reason we even found out more information is because we went to meetings we weren't even invited to. And that's the only way we found out how the citizens, what their concerns were. And so speaking from the city, but not for the city, because I may be the face of the city as the mayor, but I represent the people. I don't represent the government. And so for me, what really impacted me is when the stakes were put in the property. And we found out that there's three projects going on over there. Now, I knew about the one connecting Anderson Road, and I don't want to confuse it too much, but there's three projects that will all impact that community. But the biggest one, it would be the connector. Can we stop it? I believe that the governing body has the ability to stop anything or start anything that's legal. Yes, it can be stopped. It is the will, whether the will is there or not. Where am I on this? I told you right up front, I was for a connector. And then even as late as when I was out of office in, was it August, I walked up with a few other people and we asked the city manager, you know, hey, how is this going to impact? Because I wanted, they were asking me, and I wasn't getting updates at that point, right? Because I was out of office for 4 months. So I knew what I knew when I had left office.
And you left office because you were running for mayor.
To run for mayor, correct. So I walked up with some other people from the Cleghorn area and basically said, so how is this going to impact people there? And basically what we got at that point was two rental houses at the beginning of Darden Street and maybe Miss Knoll's house. And we still didn't know, and I can't speak for everyone on the council, but I can, I mean, I was in every meeting as a council person. We never knew the direct route. What we have found out since is we're not talking about two or three properties. We're talking about multiple properties. And when you add in the other projects, like wanting to widen Cleghorn, it takes, and this is where the eye-opening part was, if you went over there, and that's how I ended up having a meeting, not on purpose, I went over just on my own to see where the stakes were. Somebody else showed up, I'm on the driveway over there, and it ends up being about a dozen people. And it was eye-opening to see where those stakes were in people's yards.
All right, Josh, I'm going to stay in this segment. Go ahead and hit the close at 58:50. That's when you'll hit the break to go to the end of the show. Time right now is 8:53. Well, then let us try and clarify what do you – obviously, you would not want any of this to happen at all. I mean, is there any kind of way to meet in the middle for this? What do you hope can happen in the next couple of months?
Well, we immediately want it to stop. They need another route other than coming through our community. They have another route. We have maps that they had before that proves that there were other routes to be taken. And for the record, Mayor McPherson, letters were never placed upon anyone's door at any time.
But and, it could have been.
And you say that you weren't aware of what the impact would be and the route that the road and stuff would go. But I kind of have to question that, knowing that this is a letter from you
2022.
Mm-hmm. And you sent it to the Department of Transportation, your full support of the project taking place. Are you saying to us that you didn't know and that you just sent a letter that could potentially destroy an entire neighborhood?
No, I did support a connector road. The difference was where exactly does it go and what impact would it have on people? No, you're absolutely right.
Well, through our research, we have found out that it's not just about the road. It's not just about putting in the pipes or the sidewalks. That the intention behind this project is great, much deeper than that. And through my research through TAD, I found out that you've also changed our city, our area. We're now East Village. So if anyone's talking about East Village, that's what they are referencing, is our community. And when we pull up your maps, it has, and this is East Village right here. If you can see, that's us right there, the TAD. And so also, when you're looking at this, when I pulled up the video that had been recorded several years back, it talked about the target that you had for TAD. TAD is for people that's 55 years and above. TAD is for young people coming into our community that don't really have any children. Or they also want it to be where that they don't have to put money into our school system, because they want, TAD is supposed to be where it can control the population and the
direction. You're talking about this specific TAD that Villarica is working on.
So it's supposed to be where it's supposed to control a specific population, so that the population that they're moving into to Villarica don't look nothing like us. And so when you say that you don't know that the intent of these projects are, that's not true, because we're pulling up all kinds of reports. We got maps up here that we're looking at that shows that this right here, it shows greenery where our homes were. And it shows what it's supposed to look like. So when you're just saying that it's about the sidewalks and it's about the putting in the pipes and things of that nature, or just giving them, making some improvements for our community, it's way deeper than community improvements.
It's much deeper. And
hang on a sec, Josh, I lied. We're going to go to 9:06, so I guess that first break should come at 9:04:50, that final break. That's where we'll go to, 9:04:50, to commercial station ID, then go into the program. Sorry.
Okay, yes, and what makes it, we would say sinister to us, is that they had so many people that they solicited to send letters to the Department of Transportation. No one that's like us. You would think that they would have an accompanying letter from our ward city council, since everybody unanimously voted upon it. It seemed like a letter of her support would have been there too. But they picked and they choose carefully who they would like to send those letters by, so that they could get a favorable outcome to get this project funded.
Well, maybe I got to ask you, I got to ask you, this is going to be speculation unless you have other documentation. Why do you think, I mean, this neighborhood's chosen? Is it because it's, I mean, it is adjacent to the downtown?
I can answer that question. Part of the funding for this is a grant. So what we're talking about in support of these letters was for them to acquire a grant. Now, we know that you're not going to get grant money for Mirror Lake population. Because one, the income is way above average. And so they would not most likely qualify for grant money. But we're considered low income, minority properties. They can show a need for why they need the money. And there's reports out there about how we appear to them. You know, it even goes down to healthy eating choices, that we could have easier access for employment.
Highly disadvantaged.
So when you see that type of language, you're insinuating that everyone over there is at a certain income level. Yes, that's right. It is mostly older people with homes with generations of individuals in one home. And so when you look at all of that, they don't take in consideration how we would be displaced. Because what you don't know is rent, the average rent now goes from $1,500 to $2,000 for a two household family. And you look at how you're going to take someone that has got a disability check, maybe $900 to $1,200 a month. And you, even if you gave them $100,000, how far is $100,000 going to go if you got to go and pay your money? Then you don't even take in consideration if they get any benefits like food stamps or any kind of lights for their lights, grants for their lights. All of that goes away because you now they have acquired, now they got more than $2,000 in the bank. So now, hey, they're going to start cutting their checks off. So they're not considering how this is going to impact us as citizens. And that's what's hurtful. And it's hurtful because the type of population that they're looking to come into our area don't look like us. And that's where, when you say, why are we so upset now? Because now we understand the real intent of this whole project of TAD. And on top of that, we have found where there has been a lot of unethical things done at government level. And what we mean by that, there's a lot of people that has a lot of benefits to this project going through.
Have you reached out to any local attorneys? Do you have counsel?
Well, we are in the process of that because of the things that we have put our hands on. And to be honest, the city hasn't really been helpful with that because we have requested open records that we still haven't received to today.
They haven't released it.
So we have been doing internal research on.
And I'm amazed. I'm impressed at all the work you've done. I mean, I would hope that, you know, any local attorney that is watching this and learned of this now, I mean, would consider this as a case they would take on. Not charge. Yes. I mean, to look into it. I do. We really do have like 2 minutes left. I mean, I do want to give you ladies one more chance to comment on this. I mean, what do you've heard from them and you've talked to them before. This is not new information. I mean, what do you hope the city will and can do? Or if we just say City Manager Tom Barber at this point, and I suppose if you do stop it at this point, there's a lot of money already invested. There will be money lost. So there'll be fingers pointed at that too, and an opportunity for somebody to blame somebody else, for all this. But what do you hope to see? And again, I just put it out there. What do we hope Tom Barber does at this point?
Right is right, and wrong is wrong, and what is being done to this community is wrong. And I don't. It does not matter who you are, or where you come from, how you cannot see what is being done to this community, how it is not wrong. I don't understand how you cannot see it. This is absolutely about race. I've heard it time and time again that this is not about race from certain people within the community, that this is not about race. This is absolutely about race. These are our people. The slogan of We Are VR, these are our people, and we need to treat them better than this. We are better than this, and we don't treat people like this. We need to find, if we need this connector, we want this connector, then we need to find a way to make this connector happen where it does not impact people's homes. We can find a connector that will, where we can make a, we can purchase property where it's not impacting people's homes. This is not okay.
Leslie, I lied to you. You're not going to get a chance to talk.
Sorry, Leslie.
It's a great way to end it. And again, thank you, ladies, for coming out here. I mean, a half hour, apparently not enough to discuss this.
Thank
you for watching and listening. I mean, I know there are comments on the Facebook page that I didn't have a chance to look at, but I mean, I know you didn't get enough time to talk, but I hope this does make a big difference. I hope something comes out of this. I really do.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Time right now, 9:05. You've been listening to the Community Voice program on News Talk 1330, FM 106.3.